Welcome once again. I said that we are blessed this week with your unyielding presence before this committee. If it was a continuation of yesterday, I think we would simply just continue where we left off. But I see even the sitting arrangement has been reshuffled. So I think let us start. I thought we were going to have an early morning yesterday, but with Hoshi it took a different turn. But today is not there, fortunately. So I'm sure we'll have an early morning today. As long as we stick to the issues. Wanted an early day, full day today. So. Someone did not, and it, as it always does, right? So, you failed to disappoint me. Let's see if I can be disappointed today. Everyone switching off their phones and no phone ringing until the end of our meeting. I'm sure I've been clear. I didn't say put it on silent. Switch it off, because when it's on silent and rings, it does affect the recording. So let's switch it off and we'll see our phones at the end. DG and the officials from the Compensation Fund, we welcome you. So we would want DG to start by knowing the officials who are with you, and for them to know us, the Auditor General's office. And of course, National Treasury is here with us as well, members of Parliament, and then we can then get started with our discussion.
Honorable members, Richmond and Julie, Office of the Chief Operation. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Chidi Gomez. I'm the Director of Internal Audit.
Good morning, Honourable Members and Chairperson. My name is Kulane Butelezi, and I'm the Chairperson of the Committee.
Morning, I'm Sipumaku, Audit Committee Member, Competing Fund.
All right, National Treasurer.
Judy Nadi, National Treasury. Star Cargo, National Treasury.
Good morning, Pudilo Masudubela, National Treasurer.
Good morning. My name is Ms. Ngao, the General Chair. Mr. Scott Fink will join us later. He is with the Presbyterian with the Minister of Public Service Administration.
Okay. Joshua Baganzi, Auditor General South Africa.
Hello, Auditor General South Africa.
My name is Amnola Maola, Auditor General South Africa.
Good, thank you.
Not anything, not from the Auditor General for Africa. Member of Scope. Dion George, Member of Scope.
Pierre Rabin, Member of Scope.
Northern Clip.
Good morning, I'm Gertrud, Member of the Committee.
Gertrud Powell.
Good morning, I'm from Member of Scope.
Good morning, Captain, Member of Scope.
Good morning, Captain, Member of Scope.
Okay, thank you. Comrades, I'm Comrade Temba Gudi. I chair the committee. DJ, I am. We're doing the round of introductions. I was looking at page 3 of the report, and I note that the chief financial officer was not introduced. I had a number of people to finance this, finance that, but I did not hear anyone saying I'm the chief financial officer, unless I missed it. Because as we saw yesterday, and as it always is the case, just a minute, Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask a question. Yesterday, the minister was not available because she was at a discussion regarding the crisis in the mines, which obviously is a very good thing for to be there. But I noticed that the minister is not here today. Do we know why that is the case? Thank you, Chair.
All right. I'm sure the DG will respond to both questions.
Thank you very much. The issue in the mining crisis is they would call it an ongoing matter. So it does look like it's not possible to have one day waiting to resolve everything and so it's an ongoing but ongoing sort of arrangement. So for that reason the minister is then taken up the chair. And apologies the chair for not also resuscitating that very same apology that we tendered as of yesterday. Now, Mr. Peter Olotto is the acting CFO as we speak.
Who's the acting CFO?
Mr. Olotto. He's basically disadvantaged practice.
Chief Financial Officer will introduce himself.
I can't call. What did you say?
How did you introduce yourself, sir?
I introduced myself as the Director of Financial Reporting. But,
Deputy Director or Director?
Director.
Financial Reporting.
Yeah. My sincere apologies. I'm also the acting Chief Financial Officer at the Compensation Fund.
You're also the acting?
CFO at the Compensation Fund.
But the actual position is Director
of
Finance.
Yeah.
But you came here as the acting CFO or as Director?
As acting CFO.
You're on. That's how should have introduced yourself. See?
So just for clarity, the Honourable Minister, is she out of Cape Town or within Cape Town in the negotiations with the mining people? Because I thought I don't know.
She's around the Cape Town, yes, of course.
I found the house answering questions yesterday, sir. And our house. House is house. Yeah. What is it? It's an assembly.
National assembly.
Yeah. Is there no deputy? I'm not sure. So.
We don't.
You mean in the house this morning? Yesterday?
Yesterday afternoon, sir.
Oh, yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, she was answering questions.
You see, DG, and that without going into the schedule of these ongoing engagements around the mining crisis, from what things say, then it means in the afternoon she was able to find time to come and answer questions from MPs. My assumption was that they is actually out of Cape Town because the unions, the mine bosses, they're all in Gauteng. But maybe technology, I don't know. I'm just saying the impression I got was there is intense engagement that would require to be completely away from this place.
Could I just state that the final example yesterday you had a delegation from the side of Labour that also was here.
Okay.
And of course, yes, they flew down for which that part of the engagements, that step of the engagement President Polivatoi, because on one hand, there was also section with the Deputy President, and so on, some of the engagements were also late last night and so on. Yeah.
Okay, can we pass this one? So what happened to Puvi? Okay, or maybe we'll get that as we get into the issue of the fund. Well, DG and I think the commissioner, it is not the first time once again that we engage with this entity. But unlike the department, yesterday we engaged with the department happy that there have been positive strides that have been taken. Our main emphasis and worry yesterday, therefore, was that it should not be one step forward and two steps back. We must continue to move forward. now, we are meeting with the fund, and I think in my life sitting here, this is probably the third time that they were engaging with a visit entity. And there is very little to be happy about. And I will only have a sense when I walk out of that door whether I have reason to be optimistic or not. And that will be dependent on you know, the explanations and clarifications that we get. But I don't think that we're doing things right in that entity. Or put it differently, I do not think that the leadership of this entity is able to exercise leadership in a way that ensures the realization of the objectives of this entity, in a way that is consistent with the provisions of the law that governs and guides how our affairs should be run. So, I'm setting this issue to say, in whatever we'll be discussing, the point should always be to correct this perception that I have, that the leadership of this entity is failing to run this entity in a way that will ensure that it realizes its objectives and it is consistent with the laws that should guide how the entity is run, especially in relation to financial management and administration. So that's my take, and I would want to be convinced that that is not the case. I will hand over to Comrade Chilwane to take us through or lead us on the first element of the report. Comrade Chilwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Like you said, I'll be concentrating on the annual report from page 77 to page 78. As we have mentioned, Chair, that we have met with the entity, I think probably in 2010, and we did previously recommend that the management, maybe I think we should start that the management should design and implement internal controls to ensure that revenue contributions and assessment of debtors are performed regularly. If maybe we can establish in that regard, has this recommendation been implemented?
With your permission, Jay, could I ask the Mr. Mulata to help deal with the question of internal controls? I'm sure also the Commissioner would also make some few additions.
Maybe that's probably where we should start, the Commissioner, because he was, yeah, I would imagine that the Board of Accountability, whilst it is an entity within the department, within the entity, the ball of responsibility rests with it. Whatever else others might be saying will be to add impetus and give further clarification.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Indeed, the issue was an issue when we appeared before the committee in 2010. And I think at the time when we appeared before this committee, we're sitting with the disclaimer of opinion from the Auditor General in this particular space, and we have indicated before this committee that we'll endeavor to put measures to address these issues. We indeed have designed a policy strategy to deal with revenue collection and revenue management. And my director income will elaborate on the elements of the strategy. However, I must indicate that the issues that were affecting us at the time, which I think are the issues that are going to continue to affect us going forward until we begin to implement some of the measures I will indicate. One is the issue of completeness and accuracy of revenue. The compensation fund that a public entity is required to report its revenue on an accrual basis. And for us, we need to be able to indicate and satisfy the Auditor General that the revenue that we have raised are comfortable, that is the revenue from the universe of employers that are supposed to contribute in the compensation fund. And the amount of collection and declaration that employers have made are accurate. And those that have not contributed, the estimation that we are providing in our financials are proper and accurate. The challenge that we are sitting with is that...
Right. Okay, sure. That's fine.
Thank you, Commissioner. You thought the policies were designed. We were missing intention when we raised this issue, and now it's 2015. And according to the report, fancy say the completeness and accuracy of revenue contributions had some challenges. But then, if we have implemented, we have designed this information that was suggested by the committee that you do so, the amount still stands, because if you check, it stands at 4.9 billion in 2010, and now 4.8 billion, which I'm not sure, but friends, it's very little, it's very minimal, it's not convincing that really the work has been done. Moreover, it's not the completeness and accuracy of revenue contributions, but also the completeness and valuation of assessment of debtors. Completeness and valuation of actual for assessment, which was not raised. These are the three main issues which probably have caused the entity to be in this position that it is now. If we could be just be convinced in that way to check why was not being implemented up to this date, up to so far. Like the chaplain said, that he is not entirely happy. He actually took my words, because I was going to say that we are not happy. It seems that we are not moving. We are just moving around the circle, around the entity in terms of financial management. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Person, Honourable Member. I think I have indicated in my response that for as long as we have not realized the objectives of the policy that we are implementing, these matters will continue to arise. Because we cannot satisfy with the general that we know all the employers in the South African labour market, that all the employers who are registered with us constitute the entire universe of employers, is a challenge that was still sitting with. However, in my other life while I was at the UIF, the only option that we have used to try to address this was to make an application to the Minister of Finance to request an exemption from accrual to cash basis for us to account for revenue, which was granted, and the qualification was removed. However, this is something that we are also looking at. We are replacing a case to approach the accountant general to assist us in addressing that particular issue. However, we have introduced some of the measures. One of the issues that I indicated is that, for example, the return of earnings that employers sent to us, we receive them on face value and we capture them on our system. Because they are done manually, there is room for comebacks. For example, employers will indicate that the amount that we have assessed is inaccurate, I would require a revision. So you have to engage in the revision, because either it could have been a capturing error that occurred to us, we are doing the capturing. Secondly, the amount that employer has declared on a return of earnings, we are thought to be the correct amount. The measures that were put in place, one was the issue of automating the return of early submission, which was done only from the 1st of April 2011, whereby employers will now be required to submit their returns electronically on the system. That has been implemented since 2011, and the new IT service providers has helped us, EOH, to implement some improvements. For example, in the speed with which employers can access our system and make declarations.
But that does not deal with accuracy and completeness.
Yes,
speed, something else, does not talk to the core issue. And it was implemented from April 2011. It would not be an issue now if that addresses the core issue. It's complete.
Chairperson, you are right. The commissioner said they were doing this manually. Okay, probably maybe before 2010 when they appeared here. They put in place your IT systems, which I believe, do you have someone in the office who's responsible for IT, or are you doing that with a service provider? And how much are you paying that service provider if you have a service provider doing that? And just a follow-up on the previous response. Is there anyone who is responsible for monitoring this particular aspect that you are talking about? And maybe to check, what was it that it entails in that particular official when we come to realize that there's this problem, and then therefore the monitoring part of it was not played by that particular person? And also, you also mentioned that you've applied to the national treasurer. I just wanted to establish with the commissioner that don't you have any legislation that you should follow before you could go to the national treasurer? Because I believe there's a legislation that you work according to it. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think let me deal with the issue of the application to national treasurer. I was just giving an example of how we dealt with the issue of completeness and
completeness. I think we're sidetracking. The commissioner said unless and until they have a complete list of the mining companies in this country,
Employers.
Completeness and accuracy will forever be a problem. So whatever else we're discussing is a side issue. Maybe we should talk to how do they come to the issue of the completeness of the list or set of employers, because if that is impossible, then...
I get you, but I believe that not in every entity has got a legislation that is got to follow. You know, when I was learning how to draw, my instructor used to tell me that if you follow the rules of the road, when I saw my drive eight, then I had any. But I'm just running that one on the end of the legislation.
Okay, no, that's right. All right. Maybe talk to that part.
Thank you. The law governing us is the Public Finance Management Act as a public entity. And when I was alluding to cash basis was something that we did in the UIF to address this issue. However, that is a short-term measure. It is not a solution, Chairperson. It's a short-term measure to remove the qualifications so that you can begin to put in place the processes to address it from an accrual point of view, that when the exemption is lifted, I found to be ready to comply with the Public Finance Management Act. Indeed, I've indeed said that we have not yet submitted the application. We are in the process of doing so. However, in the meantime, we have not folded our arms and said we can't do anything about it. What we are putting in place
in a revenue strategy. Let me just indicate what is the intent of the strategy. The strategy is intent is to increase the revenue, to increase the number of employers to be registered on the system, to reduce or eliminate.
That is the commission. Those are things that when as we're meeting here should have been done, because here we're dealing with post-mortem, not what will happen in the future. That's for the portfolio committee. We deal with what killed the patient. We deal with what led to this qualification issue by the Auditor General. Why did things happen that way?
You ask them questions, sometimes you assist them, fine. Can I get to yeah, you ask them, sometimes you answer them, not fine, Jackson. The inner articles of the monitoring of controls over revenue and debtors are responsible for this monitoring. If you can check who's responsible and have they given you reasons why this was not done as expected.
Yeah, probably let me run through the question. I think the issue of the IT officer. We have the director responsible for IT who's in our employ, who reports to the CIO of the Department of Labor. We also do not have a service provider inside. However, through the Triple P contract, Siemens Triple P contract, which is now EOH, they provide us with IT support. On the issue of the official responsible, I will request Ms. Ellen Tabele to respond. She is the responsible director for income.
Thank you, Chair. I think the Commissioner has alluded to the issue of completeness and accuracy of revenue will take some time to be resolved.
How much time? It will take some time. 10 years, 20 years, 5 years, 3 years.
Okay. Let me first start with the issue of completeness. I think the issue here that the issue raised.
But you still answer my question.
So I'm trying to explain, Chair, how much time, to get to the how much time, just to give the context to that. It's that there are so many employers out there who may not be registered with the fund. And Commissioner talked about the universe. See, we assess the employers who have registered with the fund, and we've put measures in place to bring those employers who are not registered with the fund on board to do so. And on the issue of, and what I say, it will take some time, and say, Chair asked how much time. We said, as Commissioner said, in order for us to address it, Commissioner made the point saying to apply to the National Treasury to change our accounting basis, because currently we're working on an accrual system, and for us to address that at a short-term measure, we'll move to the cash basis, so that we account for revenue as and when we get it. Right now we're providing, we are accruing for the revenue, and then wait for the employers to pay. With regards to the accuracy, there are a number of, it's a combination of challenges. One is that the process is very manual. And where there's manual process involved, the process is prone to errors. So we have capturing errors.
I mean, we did not give you a manual system. You can't come and tell us that there's a problem with the manual system. Why have you not changed it? I mean, it's not like this fund was started in 2010.
you are the leadership with the problem supposed to solve them. I'm just saying I don't feel assisted to just say we're catering manual, this is a problem. I don't know.
Chair, I was insisting on the issue of legislation, because legislation will compel you to put controls, which controls they should put in place for you to be able to do what you're expected to do.
Maybe I'm not making sense. Do I make sense? Okay.
Commissioner, you said something about the service provider and I think you said if she was answering, she's telling service provider, not saying anything. But I think when I was preparing for this meeting, I came across something like you've got a service provider that's giving you service of debt collection. They're paying a tremendous amount, plus minus 68 million. They are not part of this. They are doing something else other than other things that they are talking about. I just want to establish that one in your records, in the entity's records.
But I think we might not be expressing ourselves in a manner that is appropriate. However, what I was indicating is that the work plans that were put in place subsequent to our appearing before this committee. However, in my response to your question about IT, I did indicate that we have a service provider who is currently the IT contractor. However, in our revenue strategy, as I've indicated, we had measures that were put in place. One was the automation of the return of earnings. The second issue was the issue of revenue collection, where our debt book was high. We had appointed a service provider to assist us in increasing revenue, and in that process, the service provider is able to assist us in determining the value of the debt that we are receiving, and we are paying a fee for that service. And I think the director will give the figures of what has been collected as a result of these initiatives, and what expenses we have incurred. I think that will be provided by the director income. I do not have the figures myself. However, what I'm saying, the initiatives that were put in place, for example, the electronic submission, is to try to minimize the manual capturing. We have put in place on a set financial system, as I speak, where we are able to automatically automate the processing of invoices and able to determine the revenue that is due to us. And I must report that as a result of this initiative that we have put in place, which will be reported in the 2012-13 financial year by Auditor General, we have seen an impact in the amount of revenue that
we are not seeing that impact in this report that particularly. We are dealing with this report in front of us. Otherwise, may as well put this report away and then listen to plans for the future.
I might be talking about the future and not talking to the process. As I said, we're here in 2010, and we went back to develop some plans, and some of those plans require the acquisition of additional resources, and some of those plans will require the modifying of our IT systems, the revision of policies, for us to be able to to meet the challenges that we're facing at the time. However, at the time when this report was produced, these measures were unfolding. And I must indicate that at the time we did not have the benefit, full benefit of all these measures. However, we also had some challenges in our IT space with the service providers, in the sense that we were not able to get the things that we wanted with the speed that we were supposed to get them from an IT point of view.
All right.
Can I get the name of the person who was responsible for this monitoring so that we pass this matter? Who was responsible and what has happened? Any disciplinary measures which have been taken against the responsible person in terms of monitoring in this program, particular item that we're talking about?
The responsible person for income and revenue collection is Ms. Ellen Sabele, with a deputy director, one deputy director, who is assisting in that particular space. And I think she will be able to elaborate on the number of staff in the directorate that is assisting her to manage this objective.
I think on this one, Commissioner, maybe I should, it's better that I talk to you. She was responsible in the outcome of this report, Ms. Ellen Sabele, and I want to check what is it that has been done, because in terms of the TFMA, if something wrong has happened, you as the accounting officer of the particular entity should have taken some disciplinary measures. So nothing has happened, just put in processes to prepare for the 2012-13 report, but you should check on the backwards when you go back what has happened, what is this, because probably I think some disciplinary measures should have been taken against her. Thank you.
Well, my sense is that
assistant in the department.
From what you said at the beginning, Comrade Shulan, you have a person responsible, but there is a service provider because the people who have been employed, they do not have the capacity to deliver on the job, but they've been employed and they're paid so that a service provider can then perform their responsibility. That's what has happened. That's 57.1526204 for the payment of the service provider who was doing the collection.
Chairperson, recognition, I think on this one, I would want us to exhaust it. We can't just pass it. Recognition, I think I would invite members so that we would discuss it next. Because we cannot just pass while 67 million is being spent, somebody is being paid. And nothing has happened. No disciplinary measure that has been taken. I just don't understand. I think Chairperson, with your permission on this one, can really discuss this matter so that you try with something that will write in terms of the report. You cannot just rush away. Thank you.
Well, let's do it this way, Comrade. Let's note that that aspect, because my sense is that in this entity, that might not be the only problem part. Might be that we have 2, 3, 4, 5 others, and maybe the whole entity is broken. So it might not be isolated to a specific area. So I'll plead that just note that one down, so we don't, and then we'll note as we move along. And at the end, we'll then come back and say, well, these are the 5 areas. What picture do they give us? So that we have a complete picture. Maybe the entire entity, like Kumbi Chulon, you see your handbag, you need to pick it up and turn it upside down with the zip open, so everything falls out. But necessary. But
But let's move then to interest and penalty on assessment of debtors. Did you want to trust?
Did you? No, no, you don't have to ask for permission for that one. You, permission is given. Continue, complete.
The NGOs reported that they could not verify the accuracy and completeness of interest and penalties for late submissions of returns of earning, and could not obtain all the information and explanation considered necessary to satisfy accuracy and completeness of interest and penalties in assessment of employers amounting to 337 million. In the last financial year, when we met, it would be the end of 2010. Interest and penalties have been incorrectly charged to the assessment of debtors. And as this committee, we also have recommended that management should understand and exercise oversight responsibility over financial reporting. This matter is coming again. Who is responsible for this?
Okay, if I may, I'll request Mrs. Ntabele to elaborate on the issue of interest and penalties. Could it was in there?
Now, before she does, the question is who is responsible for ensuring that the interest and penalties are accurately assessed? Firstly, who is the official responsible?
The official responsible in terms of the Public Finance Management Act.
And in terms of your organizational structure?
Yes. In terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the Chief Financial Officer is responsible for the sound management of finances in an organization. In terms of our organizational structure, Mr. Ntabele was responsible for this particular area.
Reporting to the CFO?
Reporting to the CFO.
Where is the CFO? Miss Puzi.
Miss Puzi has left the fund in 22. I think March 2012. End of March 2012.
Left.
She has left the competition fund, yes.
Why?
And
why did she leave?
She has requested transfer to the Unemployment Insurance Fund. And the transfer
is there.
Yes, she's there. Yes.
What's she doing? What's her position?
From the information I have, she is now Chief Director responsible for risk management.
After producing financial report of this nature. Okay, fine. We'll ask the DG when he comes back, because the UIF is part of the Department of Labor. Anyway, maybe let the lady then answer the question as you were directing, but just wanted to be clear who.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think just to give a brief background in terms of organizational structure.
No, the structure is not the fine. No, the CFO, yourself, the accuracy, all that kind of stuff. Why did we have this problem around the correctness and accuracy of the penalties and interest?
Okay. Yeah. The penalties and interest, they are legislated. We do charge penalties and interest. The law, the COIDA, allows us to do that. Interest is charged for on his payments.
Yeah, no,
penalties
right.
Are charged for...
No, that's okay. What was the thing? Why were they incorrectly calculated? I think that's the point. Why
because what is in your annual report on page 78 is about accuracy and completeness. Why is that? Why is that? Or why is that an issue? I think that's the point. We understand and appreciate it's legal, must be charged, whatever framework has been created, but why is it that it has been raised here as an issue? And not only now, but even when the entity appeared in 2010, it was an issue, it's still an issue now.
Okay. Chair, after the findings made by Auditor General, we went back and checked the calculations, looked at system functionalities, to see if the system is calculating correctly. And this is the time when we're still on the legacy system, our previous financial system. And it came to our attention.
When did you go back and check? After 2010 or after this one?
No, after the audit report. After the audit findings.
One thing is that when it appeared in 2010, it was an issue. And even though this report now, yeah, it's still an issue. So when you say after the audit finding, we went there to check, when did you do that? Is it after September last year, or is it 2010?
That was done in 2011.
Okay.
That was done in 2011.
Right.
And that's when we realized that there is a problem with the system functionalities in the legacy system. We did an analysis, and it confirmed that indeed the calculations were not correctly done. And what we have since done is to request the DG to allow us, because we said if I have to go back and check, we wouldn't know how far back to go and check. And then the only way to resolve this is to write off the interest so that we can start on the clean slate and address it. Before I start on the clean slate, that we address the issues of system functionalities to make sure that the interest and penalties are charged correctly on them. The Director General has since given us the go-ahead recently to do that, and that is going to be implemented in this financial year. Ma'am, you're writing off in terms of you writing off, you won't take it out of the book. It's 357 million. That's the pending that you've asked from the DG. If I hear you correctly. Yes, that's correct. Okay. Chairperson, the DG is back. Maybe before we finalize this matter, if we can check that other matter that we said we'll talk about.
DG, we were informed that the Chief Financial Officer has moved to the UIF. She had asked for a transfer to the UIF. And I made an assumption that you would have had a hand in okaying it. Is that so?
Yes, it's a correct assumption, sir.
Was that a vertical movement or it was a promotion? We're discussing the issue of the completeness and accuracy of the calculation of interest and penalties that has been an issue till now, and we're asking who has the responsibility to ensure that those things are properly calculated. And and we're told that ultimately and quite so the CFO has responsibility. And so we're all like, after producing this kind of report, how does he get moved to, if it's a promotion, how does he get promoted to another entity, having failed to properly account for finances in this entity?
If I'm not mistaken, it was a lateral transfer, as we normally call it. So it wasn't a promotion. If I recall very well, the transfer took place before the production of
to let in March at the time when audit is supposed to start, isn't it? Well, that's what the commissioner said. She left in March 2012, just at the end of the financial year when auditing is supposed to commence. How does that happen? I mean, how?
The question of the plan transfer also happens in context, in the context of dealing with the capacity challenges that we had in the financial management space, insofar as the fund is concerned.
UIF. Or
the Annual Compensation Fund. So there are several challenges that have been raised, even by oversight bodies, for an example, within the fund, about our capacity there, and also I think the AG had raised the issues around our capacity problems. The audit committee also had raised similar sort of challenges pertaining to financial management capabilities there.
But then how does it translate the UIF, assist the UIF, if that's a person of such low capability? I mean, if a person who has no capacity, who cannot perform, so she was just moved sideways.
She was moved into a risk management unit of the UIF, not necessarily in finance, as a and I think it remains to ascertain whether she's adding value in risk management.
If she's not adding value, what will happen? What is likely to happen?
Those methods are regulated, so the accounting authority would then need to deal with the issue of performance management, and then...
Well, that should have been dealt with right here, before she moved to UIF. She was failing here. That way it should have been dealt with.
Chair, never I do accept that, the performance pressure points, and we needed to respond in such a manner that we needed to rescue the situation as far as the fund is
concerned. Maybe we'll come back to that. Let's leave it for now. I think the only thing that we're registering is that we think it could have been done differently. That which might happen beyond the UIF should have happened right here. Because it calls into question how people get appointed into positions of responsibility.
I think maybe my comment on that one is a concern that maybe in this entity there's no appetite for discipline. It seems as if it's just the recycling of a person. If there's got a problem here, we're going to be moved to point C. I think that will be my conclusion that I think about it. It's just a recycling, like it said. You cannot just take a person from point A where that person, particular person, has failed and take him or her to another. There's no appetite for disciplinary measures. Not to say you are doing away with a person. But there are ways, I think, you are better person who can be able to tell us on how do you deal with a person who's got problems or challenges in terms of their work. Or to tell us, don't know, disability, all these kind of things. What do you have them in my organization? Not that you just chase away a person. But nothing that happens. Similarly, a person just do this and it's moved by. I can do this and then I'll move to the provincial legislature. I can do this and I can be taken to the African Union. No. I'm just saying, there's no appetite. It's an example.
haven't heard anyone that somebody was done something wrong, this person was put into disciplinary action or disciplinary measure. I think we need to improve on that one. Because I believe that this fund is a very important one. It does have people who are no more employed, who do not access work. I guess this time of time in this area of financial management, how are we going to assist people who, somebody who is sick, who is supposed to get some benefit out of this fund, cannot do, cannot access medication, cannot buy food, cannot do what? But I guess I talk too much. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to move to benefit page. The AG also has reported that he has unable to express an opinion on the completeness, accuracy, and occurrence of page, benefit page. Included is the 2.2 billion disclosed in note 4 to the financial statement, and an amount of 43 million relating to permanent disability and medical claims that have been paid but could not be reconciled and benefits claimed before. Can you check why it was not reconciled? Who is responsible? Why is that person?
In this particular area, I was informed the issue that led to this qualification was as a result of the disparate systems that we had. In October 2011, Siemens, the service provider, indicated to us in April that the new claims management system was ready for deployment. However, we battled with time to get data migrated into the new claims management system. And as a result of that, in October, we decided to deploy the new system parallel with the old system, whereby we make cut-off date to indicate that claims with an accident date of October going forward would be dealt with in the new system, so that we give ourselves enough space to deal with the issue of data migration, data changing, and the in early process in the new system. At the year end, when the financial report was prepared, indeed, there had to be a reconciliation between the new claims that were captured in the new systems and paid, and those that were carrying on the new old system. And as a result, there was a discrepancy of 43 million that could not be reconciled at that time. However, I must indicate that in the new year, that reconciliation has been dealt with, and as of the end of March, I'm informed that we're sitting with an amount of about 6 million that was about to be reconciled also. But the 37 million had been fully reconciled.
About to be reconciled or?
About to be reconciled.
To be reconciled.
The 6 million. The 6 million out of the 43 million, yes. This is what I have before me.
No, it's fine. I'm just trying to, I'm saying about to be reconciled or still to be reconciled.
Still to be reconciled. I must get checked.
Yes, about to be reconciled means we're almost through with it.
No, in this, I would just have to follow up with the AG.
No, that's fine.
Yes.
That is for the future. We'll see when the report comes. But what we're dealing with here now is the one that...
But the report before you check, in case that there's a 6 million, it's on the 31st of March. I must report what... was reported
this much. This past March.
This past March, yes.
Yeah, that's the report.
Yeah. And I think I'll give context to the chair.
No, that's fine. It's 43, 37 has been reconciled, 6 billion outstanding.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. At least it's hopeful. I'm getting hope.
is 57 out of that 43. An answer that is a bit positive ever since started this morning, Commissioner. Thank you. Why are you responsible for all these misfortunes?
I must indicate here that as much as the officials are responsible for managing the areas, they need tools to be able to do that. Indeed, the systems that we are using are not appropriate systems. Subsequent to the finding,
that's fine. What you're saying is, let's not blame it on any individual official.
No,
I mean the response to a question. The other thing you are wanting to go into now, not answer the question. They merely cover what you want to expand on, which is okay, but it does not respond to the question.
No, it is indeed systems problems. We do have serious systems problems.
Okay, Commissioner, you really protect your officials.
I must put it on record here. I do not protect anybody.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I know. Hoshi wants to read. You see, Commissioner, Hoshi wants to read the KFMA. In terms of the KFMA, he's the person who must take the fall, not some individuals down the line. That's the responsibility to ensure that the systems are in place. And those systems you're talking about were not imposed on them by Parliament. They are systems. So they can't come and tell us that the systems are not working. I wanted to continue. I'm sure Hoshu will still have his chance at some point. But
I agree with you fully. But I believe that every time when we pass the budget, the fund to go to Parliament to say that this is our things and programs. We want to do 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sure.
And out of this, can you please give us money? And which Parliament gives them money. And for Parliament to give the fund the money, there shouldn't be things in place. And the commissioner, when he's admitting that there are no systems, this is 2013. We are almost 20 years, and every year money goes in there. And if we still can't get it right now, are we still going to get it right? I don't know. I just wanted to say to you, Chairperson, that really something is not convincing to say that systems are not there. So for only 20 years, systems are not there. For only next year, I won't be part of SAPA, maybe I won't be here. Whoever is going to be, but the records are there in the code that systems are not there. It will still appear that systems are not there. And the commander is putting in place systems that will assist the fund. I hope it's not... It's for the first time, Richard, last day is going to be corrected. Not like next day is going to be, no, systems are not there. Because it's not a convincing answer, Commissioner, to be honest. Like when I'm saying, on a lighter note, Commissioner, that you are really protecting your officials. You are an accounting officer responsible for anything. But you are somebody there, like you said, somebody who's getting paid to go on to through. I'm getting paid to go for being there. For doing what I'm doing. And if I'm not doing things correctly, I think Roy is able to report me to the chief whip, and this responsibility should be taken against me.
I know he likes reporting.
Yes, that work. I'm saying that does work. Because everybody has to be treated. There are many parliament systems that are there, even the members of parliament. That is why I am running attendance list. That is why I have to prepare. That is why I have to say I'm referring to page 1 and page 1. That is, so I know the people cannot come or the speaker cannot come and say, no, there are no systems. I'm not convinced. There are no systems. Then it means that we as members of parliament are doing nothing because we're not providing you with legislation. Even it comes back to the issue that I raised earlier of legislation. Because I'm preparing ourselves with what we're not supposed to do. But it's fine. Let's continue to material losses.
I'm frustrated because there's no answer that I'm getting. That
is fine. You're not fine. It's fine, but I can't
see you. No, it's fine. It's fine, let's continue. Let's go to material losses. Reported that in material losses, that an amount of 26 million disclosed in note 24 of the financial statement. An amount of 4.5 million relating to new cases that were finalized in this current year. The balance of 21.2 million relates to cases reported in the prior year, but only finalized in the current year. An amount of 3.1 million related to these cases was recovered. I think that's something also positive, that is good. 3.1 was recovered, but I don't know in terms of percentage. What percentage does it constitute to this man? And in fact, are there any fraudulent activities which were happening around this area on the material losses? Before maybe we proceed, Commission.
Chair and honorable members, I must indicate indeed that these material losses were identified as a result of the initiatives of our risk management unit, which runs reports against our systems to interrogate tendencies that are not normal, tendencies that could be deemed to be abnormal, and investigate as to what would be the reason for those abnormalities. Secondly, they will also rely on information that they would be getting from outsiders or tip-offs that they might get, and they have to investigate. And indeed, where wrong is found, it is investigated, and where the assistance of the law enforcement agencies is required, they are requested to assist. And I would indicate that there have been a lot of success in that particular space. And also there might have been also setbacks in that in some instances we were able to prosecute successfully. In some instances we were not able to prosecute successfully. And where it has involved outside service providers, for example, the medical profession, we've also used the health professional councils to institute disciplinary measures in that particular phase. And where our staff members are responsible, we have also taken disciplinary measures. I will request...
No, that's fine. I think we wanted a generic response.
Okay.
Thank you. Can you bring it to page 116 of the annual report? Note 24. The bill part of the paragraph on the amount that was paid to beneficiaries, and checks were intercepted and cashed fraudulently. I think when I ask about fraudulent activities that are taking place in the fund, I was referring to this paragraph. Because you see, there were 208 cases, which 137 were dealt with. I think they are the ones that you're referring to, others were being handed over to police. But there are other 71 cases. What happened to those cases? And also, to establish whether when a check is cashed fraudulently, there should be someone in the office who's, what do they call them, syndicate or what? I should be sitting there and saying, you do these things outside, but I'm in the office. Commissioner, I think this time you give me a name. Yeah, this time I think you'll give me a name. Somebody, someone in the office is responsible for this. Yeah.
Chairperson, if you allow me, for the risk deputy director here who's responsible for managing this particular area, if I could ask him to provide the relevant information.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. In terms of the internal quality, yes, indeed, we have dismissed about 30 officials who were involved in the fraudulent activities. And we also have the criminal case against those officials.
That was 2011.
Yes.
So that indicates that it must not be dismissed them last year.
Last year,
only one.
That last year was only one official who are involved in the fraudulent activities internally.
Yeah, and who is that person? She was the name.
Thank you.
person can you then ask the commissioner and his team so that they give us details of the persons involved here. Names, not the only the Makwasa alone, because I think it's not alone. There are other 13, there are others. So I have to get the details of what is it, what, how much was a person, is it? And we'll get that information in detail.
Yeah.
In detail. Then we'll get that
information.
Can we
get it the next week Wednesday? That's correct. It's available.
Is there anyone on suspension regarding this matter besides the one that has been dismissed?
Currently, there's no one on the suspension regarding the matter that I investigated by risk management.
Chairperson, on that said note, thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right, good work.
I'm afraid my note is going to be equally bad. Chair, you see, the important thing is we're not talking about, and that is service delivery. That's not our function, that is the portfolio committee. But you know, we are talking about some of the most vulnerable people in society, as Commissioner One has indicated. People have been injured on duty, not receiving their compensation, they're not receiving their medical treatment on time. It's very serious, and I have no doubt, given them the unacceptable lack of financial control. I have no doubt that that lack of financial control is mirrored in lack of service delivery. And I would very much like, maybe we can discuss it as a committee, at the AG's office, that some kind of assessment, an investigation into service delivery, whether we're getting value for money, and the effect of service delivery on what you heard here so far today. But that's perhaps a discussion we're going to have on our own at some stage. I'm going to deal with the remaining seconds of the AG's report, which my colleague has not dealt with. Those will be from page 81 to 84 of the AG's report. I'm going to start with predetermined objectives on page 81. I'm not going to go into great detail there. These targets and objectives are listed on page 56 to 64 of the report. The AG does indicate there a failure rate of a pass rate, something like 46%. You're not achieving 64% of your targets. I'm not going to go into great detail there. I want to do 32 of those goals, two of the targets, on page 56 of the report. Page 56, the first goal, improvement in compensation claims turnaround time. The department claims that they're achieving an 80.98% claims turnaround time. They've achieved to that extent. It talks about claims registered and the number of claims adjudicated. When you talk about claims adjudicated, does that mean money is actually paid out, compensation actually paid out? What do you mean by adjudicated? Achieved an 80.98% of your target, and you refer to claims registered, and then you refer to claims adjudicated. Does adjudicated mean people have actually received their compensation?
Chair, I think I must admit, Chair, I think the adjudicated basically, let me just allude to the process. There's a reporting of an accident by the employer, and then there's a report by the doctor, a medical report by the doctor, where we adjudicate whether we accept the liability so that the claims management division can process the payment. So in this particular year, the target there was referring to adjudication. It's not payment, it was just adjudication, to accept liability so that the next process of payment can follow.
Would the real test of this goal be the number of people paid out and the turnaround time in that, in the time that people receive. That surely would be the raw test of this call. Not whether things have been registered, not whether things have been adjudicated, but time is received. I think that's an observation that I'll make. That maybe you need to...
Can you switch on your...
I can't hear, sir. What did you say?
I'll admit to say that different deals with a sense of liability, not the actual execution payment to beneficiaries.
You see, 80% achievement of all that sounds very impressive. But if it's not that people are receiving their compensation on time, it is not that impressive. So my appeal would be to actually give us targets that have a direct impact on whether service delivery is taking place or not. So the second goal I would look at is under medical services. You indicate there that you wish to have 70% medical claim finalized within 2 months of receiving invoice. If I calculate under what you've achieved, you've only achieved 67% of your target. Why is that? Why are you only achieving 67% of that target?
What was the plan target?
Plan target is 70%. And even 70% is very low. What are the problems? Why is the turnaround time so long? What are the problems in achieving, not only achieving what you said to yourself, 70%, but in achieving 100%? What are the problems?
Through Chairperson, I think I must indicate here that the process that we are using to process medical invoices, which is a manual process where we capture all the line items of the invoices into the system, and then the second official will have to verify those line items that were captured. So that takes a lot of time, and I think the Chairperson has indicated that we are responsible for the systems that we are using. And in a year in question, we had intended to automate the process. However, the system that we received as of October did not achieve that.
It seems a very strong, slow, tedious process. Do everything manually.
Let me indicate, Honorable, through you, Honorable Chairperson, that the end-stage route is to automate the processing of medical accounts.
You haven't done that yet. You have in the future.
Plan we have in the future.
As it is here now, you have not
it's
done
it. It's still manual capturing.
Okay. So therefore, with regard to compensation plans and with regard to medical plans, there must be enormous backlogs. People waiting for their compensation. Doctors waiting for their claims to be finalized. Can you give us some indication of the backlog in those two critical areas?
Mr. Dijingan will be able to indicate those backlogs. I must indicate that from January on, with the intervention of the Director General, with the assistance of DOH, we have been able to substantially deal with that backlog in the medical claims area to an extent that the backlog is almost minimal now. In the area of registration and adjudication, I think the statistics.
What about the area of compensation?
Yes, he's gonna provide that.
Such an honorable chairperson and honorable member. The issues are related to the backlog at the end of March this year. We had 240,000 backlog, but at the end of the end of March, there was remaining of 6,109.
Okay, where did you start? You said, is it the end of? Let's start there, because I think I missed something.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I was trying to respond to was the question of the honorable member where he wanted to know what is the status of the backlog.
No, I want you to repeat your answer.
I'm saying at the end of March this year, the popular card we had, which was 240,000, was there, but what was remaining to be left on is 6,109.
You mean it
went? The
amount improved at the end of March. It was 240,000.
I just wish it could be independently verified. But maybe we can sit on that. I think the accounting officer wants to say something.
Okay.
To you, if you allow me, can I take the responsibility to write a report on this matter and submit it to the committee in writing, and I'll be responsible for that.
Do you agree with the statement that has been presented?
This is information that I have before me. I need to verify so that what I give you must be information that I'm comfortable with.
That you pay people their compensation on time. It's such a critical matter. I'm surprised that you've not verified it yet. And you wait for us to meet and discuss it, and then you decide you're going to verify it. I mean, I would have thought that you would have done some kind of verification immediately. But I think such a report would be very useful. May I move on?
Sure.
I want to move on to annual financial statements on page 82. Again, as my colleague, Comrade Chawani, has indicated, we have repeatedly not complied with various sections of the PFMA. Again here, item 18 and 19. You did not pull in proper records as a result of a serious material mistake in your financials. Why did that happen? Why a basic sections of the PFMA regarding financial statements, record keeping, most absolute basic of things. Why are they not being complied with? Do you have insufficient skilled resources, skilled personnel? What is the problem?
Chairperson, I'll ask the Chief Financial Officer to respond to that.
On the question that was raised with regards to record keeping, we have had some challenges, especially with regards to our funding over that previous year. But however, it has also improved in the financial management side as well as the operational side, because now we have implemented COFEX in that area. It's easier for us now to retrieve all the information to put together the financials, as well as like the commissioner alluded to earlier on, that are now able to do all the reconciliations. That is forward. At that point in time, we have to reassess of skill at the personnel in that area.
We can't see any improvement in this report. If anything, compared to last year's annual report, you regressed. There's no improvement here. So you said we'll see the improvement going forward.
So you said that the one I was talking to, the issue around the record keeping, because earlier on, in the previous mayor, we were finding it difficult to reconcile between the operational system and the FI system, that is the payment system. And so the commissioner has alluded to earlier on when he was trying to explain what has happened in the previous years. But as far as I'm concerned, we have improved dramatically, especially at the end of this 5 years.
Well, we managed to get it right and not improve. I mean, you're employed to do the right things.
There is also a finding on the lack of internal controls. And if you look at the audit committee report on page 67, there is a very critical report there from the audit committee on the lack of internal controls in the department. The report speaks about no control environment, control environment being inadequate and ineffective, assets of the funds not being safeguarded, lack of management ability, resulting in increased foreign corruption. It is not a very, it's a report that does not give one much confidence. The report talks about a lack of ability and little progress to improve the situation on the behalf of the accounting officer. What is the problem? What remedial action has been taken to improve ability to ensure that we don't get these kind of reports?
Chair, in the period that we are looking at, subsequent to the removal of the chief financial officer, we have engaged the services of Mr. Leshnik, who is the chair accountant, to assist us in running the financial management area and to address these particular issues.
You've employed Jonathan Touch to assist?
No, Mr. Leshnik was appointed as the acting chief financial officer.
Okay, but you've also appointed a service provider, have you not? A consultant to assist you?
In the year in question, 2011, I think 13, the responsible person was Ms. Puzi. Yes. And in the year following, as of 1st of April 2012, Mr. Leshnik was appointed as the acting chief financial officer. And we also appointed KPMG to who were previously assisting us in addressing some of these issues.
You've appointed KPMG. I have him on my list of consultants.
Yes.
That's about 39 million rand. Yet we still get this kind of report. Where is the improvement? Where is the value for the money we are spending? 39 million on to assist us providing assist in internal control, yet we get a report like this on internal control, despite the expense of 39 million rand on a consultant. Where is the value in that money? And this is part of your core function, ensuring internal control.
Yes.
Yet you seem to have outsourced it to a consultant. I can see no value in the money you're spending. The situation has not improved. If anything, it has got worse. Why are you spending 39 million rand on consultants? What are they doing?
I think in the year in question, we didn't have the assistance of the consultants. I think the challenge that we must indicate is that in 9 and 10 and 10 and 11, they were there. The equation is which.
My observation is that I do not see any value for money, and it seems to me that you've outsourced a number of your core functions. Tremendous cost, and I do not see the value. Earlier on, Comrade Chiwani referred to your debt collection, spending 67 million rand on a consultant to do your debt collection. We can see no improvement. You are spending Ernst & Young, KPMG and other 39 million to assist with risk management and financial services. We can see no improvement. You get another qualified report. You appoint Deloitte and Touche for 7 million rand to assist in your internal audit services. This page you're referring to. I can see no value share or this kind of expenditure. You seem to have outsourced a large part of your core function to consultants. Then the question must be asked, what are we paying senior managers for? What are we paying senior staff for? It's almost as if we have a parallel administration here. And that the people we should have at this meeting, not the people, perhaps with DG, the people we should have here, are not these officials, but KPMG, Deloitte & Touche, Ernst & Young, and so on. Alexander Forbes is another one.
Pinana in Associates.
Those are the ones who should be.
No, it's a credit pollution.
This is a mere shadow, I think, of this administration. And earlier on, the accounting officer made reference to Siemens. Waiting for Siemens to do something. Waiting for Siemens to produce an IT system, whatever it was. It is this, they have taken a step back and they've now relied on consultants to the tune of 155 million to run large sections of their entity. Can you comment with us this?
Honorable Chairperson, I must indicate that I think we should separate the issues. Let me speak to the issue of risk management. In the space of risk management, we can identify the success that we have done there in number of fraud that we have identified and cases that we have executed and the number of official assets.
The audit committee report talks about increased fraud and corruption.
I'm indicating that there are reports of the success stories that we have made here.
Maybe Commissioner, in front of the question, where our shadow boxing with the officials there?
Yes.
Because the people who actually run
the consultants
who are not here. And it puts into question, what is the value of this engagement? Because you give us responses, but you're not going to be the implementers. Maybe if we had anything young, KPMG, PKF, Quinana and Associates, Deloitte and Touche, Compton Software, Alexander Forbes, maybe we'll come to a better understanding of why are things the way they are, because those are the people who are running the show. And even this fellow, I mean, today there is Brian Leshnik.
Leshnik, yes.
Is the acting CFO.
And he was the previous CFO, but
yes,
previous CFO. He was up as a consultant, am I right?
Yes.
We've got some very strange things in this country. We have a consultant, we've had consultants, employing consultants, we've had consultants, overseeing consultants. That's the first case I've ever come across where the CFO himself is a consultant.
Then I have a
long list of consultants. I haven't even begun talking about the propane expenditure of 97 million rand. But it's almost DG as if we have two administrations here. This one, and another one out there somewhere. But please give us some good news, at least with regard to consultants. Are they transferring skills to debt collection, to risk management, to financial services, to medical client units, to internal audit services? You've got consultants working in all those areas at 155 million. At least tell us skills are being transferred to your own personnel.
Okay.
Well,
I think you're too eager for good news.
So how much longer will you be dependent on this list of consultants I read to you?
I must indicate that the responsibility lies with the management function responsible for the area that the consultant are assisting, to ensure that the skills are transferred and that any kind of the
contract, they are able to do...
Through
every one of the contracts? Yes. In terms of internal audit, for example, after the Deloitte Professor James left, I can't comfortably indicate that the internal audit function is fully functional, and AG can attest to that, that they can rely on the reports of internal audit for executing their work. In the space of risk management, I think the risk committee has indicated that I think our focus has been on operational risk. Our focus in the years.
Let me focus on you, comrade. You see, the one part that is failing to move out of my mind is the fact that maybe we're talking to the wrong people.
That's what I'm saying. It's really what I'm saying.
We're talking to the wrong people.
See, I cannot believe we're spending 155 billion rand, and that's just this financial year. You know, we're not talking about other financials. What do we get for it? Regression. They're going back to a disclaimer. Yeah, we're employing all these big, huge firms to run key services in their department. But we have well-paid people in those positions. There's a person in charge of debt collection. There's a person in charge of internal unit. There's a person in charge of medical plans. There's a person in charge of this management.
I'm trying to think loud whether, you know, continuing with your question really has any value in the absence of the people who are running the system.
No, I don't know. We may
encounter debt collection from risk management and financial services to even the medical claim.
Yes.
The implication, well, the system, my thinking now is that all that superhuman processing has been done by consultants. And the leadership here might not be able to confirm and guarantee that those claims were properly processed.
And they have a vested interest, Chair, to ensure that these problems continue. They're not going to work themselves out of a job. Imagine receiving a cool 39 million rand. As long as the financial reports are bad, you will need me. And I can carry on with receiving my 39 million. It is in their interest to ensure they don't get a key report.
Commissioner, yes. And then Dr.
George. So, I think I agree with you. So that I think Honorable Ainsley is putting a brave face. Probably because you're putting a brave face. This time, he's on me. I wanted to suggest, if it is possible, but I think it's possible, we have Mrs. Wood moved to UIF. And all this, yes, and they have this, they can't help of who sometimes became a service provider. And all these other service providers, when they are convened, they come and appear in the committee and get to the gist of this discussion. Because some of them are not winning. I guess we've got to try to hold people accountable for public funds.
Thank you, Chairperson. I share the sentiments expressed that it's very, very clear that maybe we've got some kind of a front here that we're not quite sure what is behind it. So I think Honourable Ainsley has been very brave in the face of this difficulty. And I agree with Honourable Shawani that we do need to get the consultants here. And we do need to actually ask that question because it is very troubling because, as Honourable Andrew said correctly, that if you haven't got any vested interest to fix it and you've got a never-ending stream of income, then you're just going to keep milking it, and that's not what the people want. So I do think that we need to call the consultants here and the lady mentioned and let them explain to us exactly what is going on so we can get comfort in actually what is going on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think not to buy the idea because we are dealing with an entity that is supposed to account to its logical conclusion. You cannot come here and tell us that I've employed the service of somebody whom I'm unable to explain how do I arrive at a particular decision to employ and pay that. They should tell us.
If they don't know, they themselves, they should tell us why they have to continue in the entity. I'm sure it's the time that we should now put a break, and that I have that solemn argument between the DG and the commissioner. If that is not there, if it's there, evaluated, is he performing in terms of that particular performance agreement? If it doesn't, there's another alternative, and I guess the best amongst other is to make sure that you don't have a commissioner who cannot account to its, you know, completion of its performance. Chair, Section 86 of PSMA tells us a lot that in case you are unable to, then DG should step into the police station and said, I employed a person here to go on 23 with a particular body of the numbers, you know, allocated to them. They are unable to tell you what happened. Somebody the police will investigate, and somebody will want to do it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Should we look at a post-mortem? And whilst I agree that we need these consultants to engage and the former CFO, I think the entity itself ought to tell us whether they believe that bringing those people here is going to assist. I know we're going to hold them. Assist the case of us unearthing exactly what we find in the post-mortem. And maybe the Director General or the Commissioner can speak to that. And if we agree on that, then we set a date for that meeting to take place.
I think we proceed with Aldo, and that we seriously consider as a committee that whether we should reconvene at a later stage with others who are not here. But in the meantime, as I don't have much, I'll jump some of the questions that I have regarding these list of consultants I have. But there are definitely other one or two items that I believe that officials who are here would be able to throw some light on.
Okay.
I'm suggesting a two-pronged way forward. One, continue to a limited extent now, and we seriously consider calling in the financial consultants, who seem to me to be largely responsible for the report we have here.
All right. Dr. Ravi, before we...
Report. Because there are one, two, three, four very serious items there which indicate
that you do not have a supply chain management policy. It seems to be a free-for-all. Page 82 did not monitor performance of contracts of contractors. And there I would extend that to what we've just discussed now. I doubt if you're monitoring the performance of the contracts I've indicated. You do not have a fraud prevention strategy that provides the measures required by regulations. You did not, in your supply chain management policy, make provision for selection of both adjudication committee members. How on earth that is possible, I do not know. But you cannot sit there and tell us that you have a supply chain management policy when the AG makes its findings. And finally, there at point 26, is your high level of irregular food and wasteful expenditure. So really, on what basis you say you have a supply chain management policy, I don't know. In effect, you don't. Can you comment?
What about hiccups? What happens is that yes, we have a supply chain document policy documented, and also it includes among other things that one that was reviewed, the appointment of a bid committee, bid evaluation committee, a bid education committee, and also bid specification committees. The documents are available. I can provide to the house if need be.
Let's have that document, but it's a case of going forward. On the basis of this report, as we sit here, you do not have an effective supply chain management policy. But let us have the document. It would be useful to see that.
I think, Comrade Roy, the issue might not be whether well is a policy or not.
It's there where it's been implemented.
I mean, if it's there and governing done, it's as good as not implemented.
I'll carry on. Under that very same item, supply chain management, can we take a brief look at irregular food and wasteful expenditure? I think it's on page 117, if I'm not here. Yeah, on page 117 and 118 there is details on your food and wasteful expenditure. Let us start first on page 117, item 29, food and wasteful. Dramatic increase from 9 million to 14 million. Now, you indicate three broad incidents there. Interest charged on overdue accounts. You say there's an investigation. The next incident is 10.2 million rand that relates to the delay cost charged by your friend Siemens, which you mentioned several times today. No investigation indicated there. Then you have a matter from 2008, we're now what, in 2013, regarding late payments to SARS. That has cost us 420,000 in penalties. No indication of investigation there. So I want to know, what is the, give us a progress report on the investigation that you say you're having into the interest that you had to pay, and why there are no investigations into the other two matters. And in your report now, tell us who is responsible and what action has been taken against that person or those people for this irregular expenditure of 14 million plus. Let's start with the first one. Interest charge and overdue accounts by suppliers. We lost 1.5 million rand there. Who's responsible? What action have you taken?
Well, for I'll just do the first one. What about chapter 6? The 1.5 million relates to the money that was paid to control, because there were court orders that in fact to say we have to process their invoices within a specified period. I think within 90 days. As it was said in our within 25 days, as it was said in our threat plan. From the 26th day, Consul will charge up 15.5% on the invoices that are outstanding. So that is where the 1.5 million comes in, with regards to the invoices that were
not. Yes, I know that. I can see that. You've written that there. But who is responsible for that? Somebody must have failed to do their duty. And what action did you take against that person? for you take before DC for that?
So my lord, is that this matter was as a result of the delays in the process.
Counting officer, we know what the matter is. Who's responsible? What action did you take against that person? Because you say you had an investigation. I should have done nothing to say. You did nothing.
That means we have not disciplined anybody.
What?
Because this was a generic problem in and a systemic problem in the processing of medical claims that we're not able to process and pay within 75 days.
It just seems to be so simple. You have an account, you don't pay it on time, therefore the company charges you interest. I mean, what can be so simple with more simple than that?
It's not a case of one account. What happens here is that the council will be submitting claims on behalf of a number of doctors. And in that instance, they'll submit the enhanced report of accident, they'll be submitting the first medical report, and thereafter invoices.
Okay, so out of your investigations, you deemed it unnecessary to take action against anybody.
This has to do with the systemic problem.
Yeah, very persistent. Yeah, very persistent in your entity. But no action taken there. Okay, the next one. This 10.2 million rand that relates to the delay to SIMS. Did you have an investigation there into how that came about?
We hold anybody
very accountable.
In this particular case, SIMS indicated to us that the system was ready for implementation on the 1st of April 2011. And we realized that data migration, data cleansing, and some of the functionalities of the systems could not be provided. Hence was the delay in order to address those other issues. And as a result of that delay, within the contract, we were made aware that once methods deliver the system, we must implement to avoid delay costs. However, once we went live in October, we then discovered that they were not able to perform data migration. They were not able to provide us with some functionality. And then this matter was within the contract that we could recover through the penalties and other processes. And that process is still ongoing between ourselves and the new incumbent who has taken over the Siemens contract. And above that, I want to commission an investigation, which is called post-implementation audit, to identify the problems that relate to the implementation of the system as to whether we were partly to blame or Siemens was partly to blame.
This is the finding the AD made earlier on, yes, which I referred to, that you are not monitoring your contracts. And it looks to me as you're also not monitoring your consultants. Because if you had been monitoring Siemens, you would have known. Where does it run? That they were in fact not ready to fully implement the system.
I think
they should have wait, and now we have debate between them and us as to who is responsible for this 10.2 million rand.
The challenge that was sitting...
Chair, the challenge is that...
The contract is not managed by the fund. It's a transversal issue. It is a central contract that is managed by the department. Another thing is that we have raised this concern that we were liable for penalties. However, on implementation of the system, we found that what was given to us is not what was delivered. And hence, there is a check and counter claim process that must happen between the department and the service provider. And that process is still ongoing.
But then you're paying Siemens enormous sums of money to install systems. I mean, don't you on a regular basis monitor those systems, have test runs to make sure that by the implementation date things are actually working? It seems to me, again, you simply leave things up. Leave things to your consultants. Leave things to Siemens in the hope that when time comes to implementation, things will actually work. It's the kind of lack of monitoring which the AG has found, in my view. But are you saying it's possible to get this money back, perhaps to recoup the 10.2 million?
This is handling that the whole Siemens triple P claim against the department and also our claim against them.
Yes. Okay, future scopers then will receive reports on how successful that is. The third item there, any investigations there? Yes. Interest and penalties we've had to pay to SARS? Anybody there held accountable? Any investigations at all? Matter all the way from 2008.
Yes, there was an investigation that was conducted with regards to why the officials were unable to deduct them from the assessors and other board members and pay them over SARS and pay them later, a little bit late. That was one of the matters that was meditated with Mr. Magwaza, who was subsequently dismissed. But on this matter, he was given a little warning. And on this matter,
well, at least there will be some accountability.
Subsequent to that, we have taken a decision as a fund to pay all the assessors, including board members, on paper, so that moving forward, we don't have to do this reconciliation manually. It's done by transfer on the behalf of the compensation fund.
Okay. On page 118, with regard to irregular expenditure of over 6 million, you list four incidents. Why is it that there have been no disciplinary steps taken or criminal proceedings in any of those four incidents you list there on the left? Under the column for DC and criminal proceedings, none. Why are you not holding people accountable?
Okay, I'll talk to them one by one. In as much as you agree that there were no disciplinary measures that was taken against the official, with regard to the first one, it was just a technical error that issue that the first provider who was have been appointed will always, like, you know, on the last minute pull out at the S-Lash, and one of the reasons why we did with the first provider, he was contracted to use our cafeteria. We have since terminated the contract with the service provider to use our cafeteria because of she was very much unreliable. The second issue relates to the air condition.
But I mean, the first one, how does it address what is in the annual report? That goods and services were hired without a purchase order? Unless if I'm missing your explanation. I thought it was straightforward issue. Goods and services were purchased without, were acquired without a purchase order. That's what it said there on page 118.
I mean, surely somebody. Your investigation might have indicated that somebody was irresponsible. Someone did not perform their tasks correctly, and therefore should have been action.
Yeah, we agree that somebody didn't do his homework correctly.
So why did you take action against them? 650,000 we're talking about. I think earlier on my colleague said that you don't have a stomach for accountability, you don't have a stomach for holding people, disciplining people. And I think that's a very good indication there. Regular expenditure of 615,000 are a very simple thing, like no purse order, and you don't bother to take any kind of action. What message do you think that sends out to everybody? Please tell us about the next one.
The next one is with regards to the acquiring of temporary air conditioners at the compensation fund. The contract was awarded to another service provider who was supposed to install was supposed to
is thought that as a condition that will be as a requirement to all the compensation house as a whole. But however, we came on board with that now, that the machine that is down there is obsolete and outdated. For him to fix that, he will charge almost four times the amount. So he said that it would be in the best interest of the compensation fund if we proceed with the current one, because that air conditioner that is processed was last installed in 1987. Because the price is too hot, especially in summer.
That's okay. Sure, it's okay. Let's just leave. I won't bother to go through the other two. I think I want to round up my section just by looking at page 83 of the AG's report.
Page
83. Various investigations, and when my colleague earlier on raised issues also of criminal activity, material losses and so on. There are a number of cases being bandied about, investigations being bandied about. I'm getting very confused as to exactly how many cases there are and what is being investigated. It would be very useful, Chair, to get some kind of updated report on investigations being conducted by the unit yourself or the SIU or the Hawks or whoever. But on this very page, on item 34, we are told that there are 71 cases of fraud being investigated. But if you look at page 58, page 58 of your annual report, page 58, one of your goals there, under risk management, regarding fraud prevention detection, is that 90% of fraud and corruption cases perceived or detected should be finalized by the end of the year. I see you only achieved 28% of that target, by the way. But there you indicate that there are 460 cases, and 130 cases have been finalized. Now, what's happened to the other? It's 460 cases, 130 finalized. What's happened to the other 330 cases? Then how does it relate to the 71 cases I just indicated on page 83, item 34 of the report? So I'm getting increasingly confused about what is being investigated, who's investigating it, what is the outcome. Likewise, item 35, investigations are indicated there. The final paragraph of the AG's report, investigations are indicated there. So could we get some kind of update in writing, as soon as possible, on a consolidated list of the number of cases, the number of investigations, as much detail as possible, the amount involved. Could we ask for that? Even on page 23, let me just look here, page 23. Yes, on page 23 of your annual report also, there are again other cases mentioned. What I find interesting about that table, page 23, you say the total number of cases, the estimated amount. I would imagine that 71 million estimated is the estimation of the fraud involved. But then if you look at actual loss, it comes down to 26 million. What happened to the other almost 50 million? And the amount referred to the police dropped to 22 million. Why is there this discrepancy in what you estimate the fraud to be and the final amount being investigated? Were your estimates completely out of kilter? Exaggerated or what? Can you explain that little table there to me? But if you could also in this consolidated the list of cases and the amount involved, who's investigating them, SAPS, Hawks, whoever, SIU, themselves, if you could indicate these cases there as well. Because here it mentions a total of 208 cases. And for the period you're talking about. So that's my first, we should add these cases to that list I'm requiring, asking you to supply. And just explain this to me, these figures to you.
you say, oh, we have lost possibly 71 million. And you say, no, it's 26 million. How is that, what the difference between those two figures?
Okay. Oh, sure. The estimate is when we receive the case to say, I've lost so much, and we'll record that as part of to say, the person alleged that he has lost so much, he was not paid, he didn't receive this amount. And when you do an investigation, you'll find that some of the cases, the amount which you allege that he has lost, there was no loss, we have paid him, maybe, or we paid his dependent, which we find that it's not possible that to cover.
Look, I thought you would explain it simply. You have 208 cases. So your estimate was based on those 208 cases. You have only committed 137. So it will be those that whose amounts will determine.
That's also
that's the basis of difference.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure I've left quite a few gaps for my colleagues to ask follow-up questions. Thank you.
I'll only give push. Please. I'm not sure if there's anything else that anybody would want to ask. Delegation of duty.
That's the key, yeah, you know, this midday towards afternoon. Earlier, Chair, I asked the question, is there any contract performance, you know, agreement between the accounting authority and accounting officer?
Okay, yes, there is.
And on a regular basis get evaluated?
On an annual basis, yes.
In the light of the findings here, Chairperson, what is the position of the accounting officer thereof?
I was hoping we don't get to that point, but I think that would be for a different session altogether. Maybe firstly let me just say, Chair, that I sincerely apologize for what has happened this morning. I think, you know, by and large I'm just engulfed by a sense of shame around the number of matters that have arisen. I think as she raises this question, it is a valid question. The question is, now that you have all these particular problems, what is the responsibility of the accounting officer? Now, there are interventions that, you know, that's the discussion that I've got prior to this, of course, I think the Chair has been alluding to the fact that we're doing post-mortem, not the future and so forth. And that's why I'm a bit reluctant to get into that. But the fact of the matter is that the situation has got to be attended to. The main short of it. That's what it is. And I would want to leave it to that.
How much time do you have to give you to come back and say this is how we attended that major blow of a day?
Because of the members, I would hope that the next time we appear. Now I'm saying the next time we appear before school, I'm talking about a major time or something.
No, you are wishing me not to be there at that particular
I wanted us to
within a reasonable time, we'll receive, you know. How the accounting offices address this particular problem, because you can't do it, you know, in the manner it goes. It will all then make us to share failure, and we don't want to become failures. We will see it requires some kind of intervention, and then we can't intervene. We would want you to intervene and report to us.
I accept that now. I was going to meet him that day. You shouldn't be here in the year's time. So my sincere belief is that
Review board after considering all the motivations that are provided on those
officials below SMS level that they want
to come. So my interest will be, if you were to say, this lower level at level 10 downwards from the unit of, for argument's sake, which unit, the worst performing here, which costs you for qualified. Do you have somebody who at that level you have said, Lord, this one has been doing well, let's give bonus in terms of recommendation. From the time, you know, if it's that cost, you'll be qualified.
I think we need available that information, but I'll not be able to give that information.
Okay, Dr. George.
Thank you, dear person. I do want to echo the sentiments by my colleague that, you know, I must have a very uncomfortable feeling. You know, we sat here this morning, we've asked a lot of questions, we haven't got a lot of answers to things that we need to know about. There's consultants that seem to have run wild. There's the seamless issue. I mean, clearly a lot of money has been spent on that. My understanding is like 60 million rand or something, and they've gone nowhere. So I do think that we can't wait until next year. Certainly not. The term is running out in May, there's an election next year. We've got to see something in the very short run. About, I will take a walk across the road, as my colleague has suggested, and I would prefer not to do that if I can avoid it at all. But I do agree that there is a very strong case here for that to happen. So I think that that's something that we must bear in mind. But I certainly think that we should call this department again soon, and we should also get the consultants who are responsible or who are part of this thing so we can get our minds around it. And also, I would like to see CMS coming here too, or somebody, because they must be accountable. And the issue about consultants has been around for a long time, Chairperson, is that, yes, government's responsible to make sure they manage consultants effectively. But if consultants are exploiting the incompetence and incapacity, whatever it is there, then they must also be held to account, because it is a two-way street, and corruption is a two-way street. It's not only government that actually does that. It's also private sector consultants who abuse government, and we mustn't allow it. So I don't think we need to have a meeting very soon, and even if it's in the recess or whatever, but I think we need to do something about this, because I cannot in all conscience get up from here and do my job as an MP and leave this meeting with a thing like this. I don't think that that's possible.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Just to add, Chair, in all of this, I think another element that we have not considered is the board. I mean, there are board members here who are paid. I don't know what they're... I'm looking at their responsibilities and their mandates on page 15. And surely, you know, some of them have to also take responsibility. So I would also...
Page 15?
On page 15, just got the mandates of the committee and the board, what they do and what they don't do. On page 14 onwards, and there are various committees. There's a huge board. So in all this, there's that element of oversight as well. So I would also, first time I saw the ruling party giving advice to the opposition to do something. But anyway, Chair, I think maybe just in response to the DG, said, maybe we should give them 2 months, June, July. And when we come back, you know, in August, we schedule, we won't take a walk across the road, we schedule our first meeting, interaction with them, just to continue from where we've left off, with other role players as well. Because if we have to wait for the next audit report and another year, it's going to be far too long. It requires a more immediate intervention. So that would be my suggestion, that we meet August or so. Thanks.
Now let me give up for this. I'll give you that first note, whatever you may need to talk to.
Chairperson, I think what I was saying covered the data part of what I was going to say around page 14, but I want to go back to 105, just to indicate or state or find out clearly if I'm correct that the commissioner we have here is the one who was appointed in 2007 in the same position, and we've been the case in 6 years, and we still have this type of performance. I think really the whole thing that we have to look at is, and also looking at what the Minister General keeps on saying, it was not done, I do not, and all that, and all that. It looks like there is virtually nothing going on for someone who has been in the same position for us. What is this? and we have to get into it with the compensation commissioner that you definitely have to be in charge of the institution, and I hope it will run it down if you are not very careful. Thank you.
All right. I think let us say we have a pause, DG. I think we'll need to put our minds around it, because they will need to, before the end of the year, have long written our recommendations to Parliament in terms of what we've seen with that. So if we're going to have a second interaction with the department and entity, we may need to do it sooner than later. So let me hear from you, DJ, but may talk also to the board. Hello? You see something? Yeah, Dr. Rabi, you are the absolute last. I was saying, maybe we talk to the issue of the board. Where does, is it the same sense as, you know, entities out there, or does it have a different people in relation to the PFMA? Where does it stand? You know, so that we're able to clear it and confuse it with other things.
To be here in another second hearing as well, because there are some political aspects which was also have to be answered. I think it's important that the political office there is also here, Chair. Thank you.
Did you?
Yeah, thank you very much. Firstly, the question of the board that we have in the fund is an advisory board. That's the one aspect, but I wanted to just throw in a suggestion about the proposed session. I know this is the members meeting and so, but I was going to suggest, Chair, that perhaps consideration should be given to split the session into two. The other session is, of course, a general interaction with whomever that you want to interact with and so forth. But I think the other session would be the need to focus on what is it that is currently being done, and attend to some of these issues. And I would treat those two sessions quite differently. So I'm just throwing in a suggestion there.
All right. Okay. Commissioner?
It's already into the level and competition fund, so it means it's three then.
Yeah, no, we've had the DG, Susan Shafun, and see how we take it forward. I'm sure you can see DG was very different from yesterday. We had an easy day in the office yesterday, primarily because some measures had been taken to address some of those persistent issues around which our interactions in the past had revolved. But we are compensation fund. As you can see, we still deal with more or less the same issues, and you would appreciate the frustrations that that members would have, especially when you deal with institutions that should, you know, have people who are in vulnerable positions. You would want it to be as effective as effective should be. So, I appreciate our frustration on that one. The issue of consultants, it's an absolute no-no in our committee. Not that we understand the world has changed from, you know, the way it was in 1917. So, there will be instances where you can't avoid having, you know, consultants coming in for short-term, you know, projects. But a situation where consultants come in the department, that one is. And you know, the report of the AG
early this year on the use of consultants. Didn't make for any good reading at all. At all. Because they were saying, maybe we have no public administration. Things run from out there. So, I think those are the things that it's one thing if we have officials who are failing to do their duties. But I think they are there failing, but we have a whole host of consultants raking in millions upon millions of fans. We certainly have a reason to be concerned. I think that's the template from which we move. And we're saying that tree of the compensation fund needs to be shaken so that dead leaves can fall and we can clean. Otherwise, it cannot be. I think that should be the message that everybody should live here with. It cannot be business as usual. Well, comrades, thanks very much. I suppose we're done for the day. And go.
Because I am, so I'll prepare the documents. Yes, I will. It will be more afternoon. I'm still going to be around. I'll send it in Dome because it's too late for everyone. Yeah.
I don't know.
When you make a payment or they make a payment, you actual basis, let me say you are renting the office, you pay 1,000 a month, so you know a year it will be 2,000. So you calculate your 2,000 won't get, even though you pay 150, as long as it is true, kulonyaka. You calculate it as though you
have
so that is account.
Oh, it's simple. Talk about interest.
So I think the government is referring to account based.
Oh, okay. This is recognition that I'm going to get payment from someone. As I said before.
Now payments with the family and the mawas would be filing in 2012 and the payments among that.
Oh.
And you calculate them as though they have been made, even though they are not
made. Oh, okay. Oh, I know that. It's simple. Because now it's in all this is a system, a computer system or whatever. And we can but the only thing I'm comfortable with is triple key. You don't triple key contract.
It's a public-private partnership.
But so, I'm going to say triple key contract. That is even a challenge.
PPP is a government will come
will source the umsebenzi from the private sector.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
But in a partnership.
Yeah, it's not a specific thing, contact a issue and department. It's a general thing.
Sorry. Yes, yes.
Yeah, group two.
I'm in one.
Yeah, group two. But to prepare the document, I'm
sorry. I've already prepared it.
Oh,
all the questions.
Okay.
While I was sitting here. So I'll just have some follow-ups.
Okay.
No, so, the honesty, because I'm not in this thing, but I'm not talking about the TPP, the contract, I might be playing a role, but
it's a program, a government. It generally, it drives a government to have a partnership with the private sector, but each department, next department will have its own TPP with the company TPP.
Oh, okay. No, this is the same thing.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yes, then the other could be booked.
No,
for the minority washroom.
Yes.
So the guy got two.
So that's not the problem.
I mean, you can't have 14 persons here. It's not possible.
It's not possible.
Yeah, I'm not Chinese, you
know. Yeah.
I mean,
Good. Okay. Okay.
How are you doing? Very good. I'm good. Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Outrage, you mean outside the building?
Oh no, he just walked out and showed me the direction of the
building. Oh, okay. I enjoyed it.
Which one did you attend?
I attended school. The conversation part was at hearing. And they are a bunch of future people. And at some point, members wanted to cancel the meeting and invite the consultants who were at the show. I've been to a lot of parliamentary meetings, but I tell you what, those guys were depressed. Those conversation are guys. In fact, the recommendation was that if they come back in 2 months' time or before.
I think this thing is going to be